But if people want to say we mishandled the Epstein release, guilty.
Yeah, you did. Wait, you did.
All right, everybody, check this out. Vice President J.D. Vance was having some trouble answering some very simple questions on Joe Rogan's podcast about the Epstein files, about the Iran war, about Israel, and other topics. I want to walk you through J.D. Vance's appearance as he's trying to do a PR cleanup on day 137 of this Iran war, on day 380 of the Epstein files cover-up. I mean, it's been going on for years and years, but it has been over a year since Pam Bondi said that the Epstein files were on her desk, since this administration had to call an emergency situation room meeting to talk about how to cover these files up, and it has been months and months of J.D. Vance playing this game where he acts like he is not responsible for any of this. Well, he has been front and center of not only the Epstein files, but also the Iran war. He was sent to Islamabad, Pakistan to negotiate, and he got nothing. He was then sent to Geneva, Switzerland to negotiate, and he got nothing. So there's a moment here where Joe Rogan, you know, he's not very confrontational in this interview, of course, but he does ask, hey, Trump said that we're nearing a deal, but we're not nearing a deal. What's up with that? Before we get into all of that, let's jump into this clip where they're talking about the Epstein files and where J.D. Vance just straight up lies. As always, make sure you drop a like. Make sure you subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed. You know what annoys me is that Joe Rogan is like the number one conspiracy theorist in America. This dude will push a bunch of conspiracy theories, but all of a sudden, when he's sitting across from the man who literally has the files, or, you know, can talk to the DOJ, which has the files, all of a sudden, Joe Rogan isn't as confrontational. Just watch this clip.
But if people want to say we mishandled the Epstein release, guilty.
Yeah, you did. Wait, you did.
We did mishandle, especially the communications of it.
What do you think should have been done?
I think that we should have just dropped everything at the very beginning. And, like, obviously it takes a little time to review the stuff, to find the stuff, to redact things where you have victims and so forth. But we should have just done it as quickly as possible.
But some of the stuff that was redacted, some of the names that were redacted weren't victims.
So, yeah, I've looked into this, and my understanding of this, having looked at a lot of this but not all of it, is that it is sometimes hard to draw a distinction between victim and co-conspirator. And, like, let me highlight this in a very sort of obvious way. Ro Khanna, who's been one of the loudest voices on the Epstein file. Well, he became very loud on the Epstein files the minute Donald Trump became president, didn't seem to care about it during the Biden administration. He actually brought one of the Epstein victims, I think, to the State of the Union last year, or maybe it was the year before last. Well, like, that victim, and I'm not saying she wasn't a victim. I don't know anything about her particular case. She was also listed as a co-conspirator in some of these documents. Right, so there's an idea that some of the people who were engaged in the sex trafficking were also, you know, facilitating it as well.
So they were incentivized to get more girls.
Yeah, but yes, that's right. But the idea is that it's hard to sort of, it's sometimes a little bit of a gray area between, you know, some of the people who were alleged victims were also alleged co-conspirators, and so what DOJ tried to do was kind of make that judgment as best they could and release.
Okay, this is not what happened. This is historical revisionism, and it's honestly disgusting for J.D. Vance to invoke the sex trafficking ring that Jeffrey Epstein created to try to imply that some of the girls caught up in this ring were actually co-conspirators who shouldn't have had their names released in one way or another. The reality is, Jeffrey Epstein was trafficking young girls who had no other option than using those young girls to get other young girls. That doesn't mean that they were all co-conspirators. It means that Jeffrey Epstein and the powerful men around him were using the power dynamics at their disposal in a deeply insidious and pedophilic manner. Number two, J.D. Vance tries to make some concession at the beginning of this clip by saying, sure, we did make mistakes, guilty. But he is downplaying the extent to which mistakes were made. It's not just that mistakes were made. There was a systematic, intentional cover-up of these files, of millions of pages of these files, while J.D. Vance is in power and was in power last year. Pam Bondi implied that she had files on her desk with tens of thousands of videos of children being abused, yet they have found and prosecuted nobody due to these files. They are refusing to look into Zorro Ranch in New Mexico. And when it comes to the redactions that J.D. Vance was trying to downplay, just read this. publicly discussed names of people who may have allegedly been abusers, such as Les Wexner, was initially redacted in the document and then later unredacted after public outrage reached the headlines. So the people who were bankrolling this and funding this had their names redacted, while on the other side, lawmakers alleged that many names of victims had been unredacted. It was like a complete inverse of what the situation should have been, and J.D. Vance is a part of the administration that did this. Do not let him play coy with Joe Rogan, as he tries to do in this clip as well.
What I have seen, and I've looked at most of the files, is that there just wasn't dispositive evidence. And if that dispositive evidence ever existed, it was probably destroyed after 2006, 2007. Now, look, again, in our defense, yes, was there some bitching and moaning, and was there some back and forth? Yes. But we eventually collected 6 million documents as part of the effort. The president, people say the president was forced into releasing the documents. Like, again, the idea that Donald Trump could not have killed that legislation, especially with the United States Senate, is a joke. He absolutely could have killed it. What did he do? He actually said, nope, we're going to release these files. He thought, he was annoyed by the story. He was annoyed by the Democrats accusing him of doing things bad. By the way, do I think there is any – I've never seen a single piece of credible evidence that the President of the United States engaged in wrongdoing with minors, ever.
Okay, let's just start here. At the very least, we can establish that Donald Trump knew that Jeffrey Epstein was engaging in wrongdoing with minors. How do we know that? Because Donald Trump allowed Jeffrey Epstein to hang around his Mar-a-Lago spa in Palm Beach. Virginia Giuffre was groomed out of the Mar-a-Lago spa in the early 2000s, and then Donald Trump ended up sending a 50th birthday letter to Jeffrey Epstein that said, "We have a lot of secrets in common." All of this combines to make you realize that Donald Trump absolutely knew what was happening. Now, when it comes to evidence of Donald Trump doing wrongdoing with minors or actually engaging in wrongdoing, there are things littered throughout the files that hint towards this. There are victims that have alleged things like this. But at the end of the day, we can't know if 60% of the files haven't been released yet. J.D. Vance smugly sits on the Joe Rogan show and claims that we don't know what Trump did or didn't do. We don't think he did anything, while still hiding millions and millions of files. If you want to clear Trump's name, then just release the rest of the files that the New Mexico Attorney General is requesting. Allow an investigation into Zorro Ranch. Allow Donald Trump to be questioned in the same way that Hillary and Bill Clinton were questioned. We should be fair across the aisle. But of course, J.D. Vance is sitting here trying to say he's never seen any evidence.
Absolutely could have killed it. What did he do? He actually said, nope, we're going to release these files. He thought, he was annoyed by the story. He was annoyed by the Democrats.
Wait a minute. This is more historical revisionism. Donald Trump did not just release the files. Trump fought tooth and nail to make sure none of the files were released ever. He did not want any of the files were released at all. And it wasn't until Ro Khanna, Thomas Massie, Lauren Boebert, Yasemin Ansari, like a small group of Congress members putting a discharge petition on the floor, forced the hand of the House, which forced the hand of the Senate, which ended up trickling up and forcing Donald Trump's hand to release the files. You guys remember this, right? It was Thomas Massie. It was Ro Khanna. It was a small commission of people pushing to release the files. Trump literally primaried Lauren Boebert and Thomas Massie because they didn't want to release. He didn't want to release the files, and they did. Donald Trump fought kicking and screaming to not have any of this released. His DOJ slow-walked it over and over and then released it, not even redacted in the right way. We cannot sit here with a straight face and try to claim that Donald Trump was willing to release the Epstein files. That is disgusting historical revisionism. Let's now jump into this clip where J.D. Vance is asked about the Iran war. I thought this was an interesting back and forth because Joe Rogan seems to be sometimes just the average American. I know that he spreads a lot of conspiracies. I know that he's tilting right-leaning and he has all these right-wingers on his podcast. But in this clip, he's straight up asking, what is up with this war?
So what is going on with Iran where it seems like the president keeps saying that a deal's been reached, negotiations have been successful, and then it all falls apart and we start bombing them again?
Yeah, so how long do we have here? Because this is a long conversation.
As much time as you need.
So I have to explain a couple of things in the background so you sort of fully appreciate people fully appreciate what's going on here. So number one, it's a bit of a simplification, but you have two elements within the Iranian system. You have, and you sometimes hear hawkish Americans say this, that they're all crazy people. They want to bring about, you know, the 12th Imam and the apocalypse and all that stuff. Right. There are people in Iran who believe that. They're also pragmatists. You've got the crazy people, you've got the pragmatists, okay? So when we struck this MOU, and really what the MOU says, and it was misrepresented more than almost anything that I've ever worked on in public life. What it says is Iran is going to open the Strait of Hormuz. The violence is going to stop. And then we're going to negotiate to see if we can come to a broader deal on the long-term nuclear issue. That's what we wanted and what the Iranians want.
By the way, the Memorandum of Understanding was dead on arrival. One thing that the memorandum said was that Israel has to withdraw its forces from southern Lebanon, and they didn't do that. They immediately did not do that. The memorandum was dead on arrival. It's also worth pointing out that this Memorandum of Understanding said that the Strait of Hormuz must remain open for 60 days, and then after that, Iran can go back to whatever it was doing before. So the memorandum heavily implied that Iran has the ability to toll the Strait of Hormuz. They just need to wait during the 60 days. They need to wait out the 60 days.
Wanted, of course, was long-term economic and sanctions relief. Now, here's the problem with where we are right now. And I guess my summary view, Joe, is that I, of course, can't predict the future. I don't know exactly where this is going to go.
That's what you say when you're fucked, by the way. I mean, they were saying confidently this was a 4 to 6 week war. They kept saying, and I promise you, they kept saying, after 4 to 6 weeks, we will have, quote, unconditional surrender from the Iranians, end quote. They were using the words unconditional surrender, and we've gotten anything but. The United States is the one surrendering unconditionally. We're surrendering control of the Strait of Hormuz. We're surrendering to the idea that we're ever going to get regime change. We are surrendering to this idea that Iran may not have nukes because they still have the enriched uranium. They still have the blueprints for whatever they need to build. We haven't made any progress.
But I think fundamentally we are on the right trajectory. It's just going to be really messy, and there's going to be a lot of stops and starts. So what happens? The first week after we sign the MOU, we get 20 million barrels a day of oil out of the Strait of Hormuz. That's what it was before the war. The price of oil comes way down. And there are elements, the hardliners in the Iranian system kind of freak out a little bit. They're like, oh, shit. Did we just give away our major leverage point? Screw nuclear weapons. We just gave away the so in this MOU. And so there was this kind of freak out in their system. So they shot at a couple ships. We responded. I think that's entirely appropriate, of course. If they're going to shoot at ships, we are going to shoot at the people who are shooting at the ships.
He's leaving out the fact that the memorandum was dead on arrival because Israel refused to stop bombing Beirut and refused to pull out of southern Lebanon.
Destroy the facilities that they're using to shoot at ships. So that happens. Okay, and then the Iranians are like, oh, no, fine. You're right. We shouldn't have been shooting at ships. So then they come back to the table. And there's a few more days of negotiation. And then the phase they're in right now is the hardliners have really, really reacted strongly to all the oil that's coming out of the Strait of Hormuz. And they've basically said, we're going to try to shut this thing down. We're scared about losing our leverage. Now, the pragmatists in their system are saying, this was a mistake. Let's keep on talking. And again, do I know how this is ultimately going to shake out? Of course I don't. But what we're doing is a delicate diplomatic dance where we're using economic leverage points, we're using carrots and sticks, we're trying to talk to the pragmatists, and then of course when they commit acts of violence, we're responding to it.
I'm so glad that he used the carrot and stick analogy because we've been using the same analogy on this show. Right now, for the Trump administration, the carrot is not working. They can't entice the Iranian regime with negotiations, but the stick also isn't working. They're not able to bomb them into submission either. So Donald Trump is stuck in this weird place where he's vacillating between the carrot and then the stick and then the carrot and then the stick and getting nothing out of it in the end. We are 137 days into a war that they promised would be 4 to 6 weeks, and we have gotten zero, zip, nothing from the Iranian regime, except they now control the Strait of Hormuz. J.D. Vance is just straight up lying, and you know what? I'm sick of it. I'm sick of watching these right-wingers hop on TV or podcasts or Twitter or whatever platform they're using and promising that the war is almost over, that we have it under control. We don't. When the Memorandum of Understanding was signed and it said that the Strait of Hormuz is open for 60 days and then it implies that Iran can retake control, Donald Trump came out the next day and started lying about what the memorandum said. He started lying and saying, hey, the strait is open for good. It is never going to close down again. What that does is it incentivizes the hardliners in Iran, the people who don't want to negotiate, to grip in their power, to have a tighter and tighter grip. If the negotiators in Iran are just getting lied to by the United States, then the Iranian regime is going to start going, huh, fuck it. Let's just start bombing again. Let's just go back to war. It is having the reverse effect, and Donald Trump is screwing us over. Here's J.D. Vance being talked about the neoconservatives, saying that there's a lot of neocons who just want to bomb Iran into oblivion, and they don't actually have a solution. It's funny because he's kind of just talking about Trump in this clip. In fact, I mean, with all due respect, he's kind of just talking about Lindsey Graham in this clip. He's saying that there are certain neocons who don't actually want a way out. They just want to endlessly bomb. That is what we're seeing right now.
What is their proposal, the people that think you shouldn't negotiate with Iran?
I think that their proposal is to bomb and bomb and bomb. And the honest view, Joe, is that they do not actually have a solution. If you actually ask them, what do you want us to do? What is the goal that you're trying to achieve? You know, they'll say things like, well, just bomb them to oblivion. Okay, we can do that. We can drop a lot of bombs. But what does that accomplish if there's still a crazy person who's still unwilling to shoot a few drones at the Strait of Hormuz? What the president has done, I think very, very capably, is said, we're going to use military force in this situation when it's connected to something we're trying to achieve. So if you shoot at ships, we're going to shoot at the facilities at which you used to shoot at the ships.
Okay. So I get that retaliation is important, and I get that being reciprocal is important. So if we get struck, we strike back. But Donald Trump has tried to use bombs. He has tried to strike them. He has tried to use force to extract political concessions from Iran for the past 140 days. And guess what we've gotten? Nothing. I mean, listen, Barack Obama's JCPOA wasn't perfect. It didn't need to be absolutely perfect, but think about it this way. We didn't have to fire a single missile to get that Obama-Iran deal. We didn't have to lose a single soldier to get that Obama-Iran deal. We didn't have to cede control of the Strait of Hormuz, and we definitely didn't have to isolate all of our allies in the Gulf who are now being bombed on a daily basis. We were able to get a long-term deal with Iran without dropping a single missile under Obama, and that's what Trump truly hates. I'm going to leave it there. Do not believe a single thing that J.D. Vance is saying. We will continue to fight back. We will continue to fact check. I love you all, and peace out.